Hey, everyone, and welcome back to the WaxCast, episode 35. I'm your host, Gavin Wax, and today I'm joined by a good friend of mine, a conservative activist here in New York and the founder of the Conservative Republican Alliance of New York, Mr. Chris Wright. Chris, thank you for joining us, man.
Anytime, brother, anytime. Always a pleasure, Gavin. Thank you so much for the opportunity to come on and do this podcast with you, man. As you know from the beginning, from everything I've been doing, you've been there, man, showing support. So I'm glad to be able to come back on and help you do what you got to do with your podcast, man, and build what you're doing, grow that support.
I appreciate it, man. You're a true believer and you're out there hitting the streets, you know, advocating for conservative values for President Trump, certainly in not friendly territory here in New York. You're basically in every borough, Brooklyn to the Bronx to Manhattan to Staten Island. So you're killing it. And you're a good friend of my club, the New York Young Republican Club. And I always wanted to have you on since I started the podcast two months ago. So I'm glad you are now the 35th episode. But I wanted to bring you on because a lot of stuff in the news lately. I wanted to talk about some Liz Cheney stuff. Let's start with Liz Cheney. So she's been in the news lately. She survived her secret vote where no one knew where the congressman voted to keep her in leadership, essentially. And she thinks that this is some big victory that means that she won and Trump lost and the Trump supporters and the Republican Party lost. But we both know that her time in Congress is ticking and it's fading. And really, she's basically done for the world politically. She's going to lose in her primary out in Wyoming. She has 10% approval rating in her own home state, a state that Trump won by ridiculous margins. And she seems just to not care. She seems to just not care what the voters think. She doesn't care what Trump supporters think. She still thinks that this is her father's party, her party, the establishment's party, and that they could just do whatever they want to do. And to an extent, she's right. They're getting away with a lot of crap. But that's not going to last forever. What do you make of this? Or what do you think of people like her and all these other rhinos basically just being out so arrogantly, acting so arrogantly right now when they know in the long term they're done for?
You said the word best, rhinos. Rhinos. I'm sick and tired of the rhinos. And what she represents, Liz Cheney, she is the representation of the old Republican guard. And the whole thing that when Trump came into election, when he became president of the United States, what Trump was pushing is conservatism being a new counterculture. And he really brought that movement in. The MAGA movement is a real thing. And these people that are involved in the MAGA movement is grassroots. A lot of it's campaigning. You brought me on here because you know what I've been doing is a lot of grassroots campaigning myself. And I've seen it firsthand. So a lot of these conservatives that are coming into this new movement of the Republican Party are young. They're energetic. A lot of it's Generation Z, which is ages 8 to 24 years old. They are really trying to be a part of what Trump's brought into America. And this is what's happening right now. And what she is representing is what was happening prior to Trump being elected. And the reason why the Republican Party was struggling prior to Trump is because they had that old school guard kind of mentality of just sitting back and letting things unfold the way they're supposed to be and being a part of the establishment. And Trump came in and showed not only the establishment of the Republican Party, but of course, the establishment of Democrats as well, and Hollywood and everything, whoever, the mainstream media, everything else, that this things are changing now. And she does not like it. She thinks that she got some kind of weak victory from getting just, you know, the secret, you know, election or whatever that the whole thing is. But that's only a temporary victory. At the end of the day, when it all unfolds, when we go to the finish line, you're going to see that she's not going to last for long. And what Trump has been promoting, what he's going to be doing with the new Republican Party, and it's what's going to last in the long run. And that's what people got patient to.
I agree with you. I think these are her fleeting moments of power and relevancy, and she's grasping to it. She's doing her victory laps pretty prematurely, honestly, going on Chris Wallace, getting her softball interviews from him, who's obviously no fan of Trump. He's obviously very biased. And she's acting like she did the moral thing here. She acts like she represents this moral majority. She voted for a sham impeachment that was based on lies. It's not even probably constitutional. So she's wrong wrong from a procedural legal standpoint. She's wrong from a just substantive standpoint in terms of why they're trying to impeach him. She did it out of petty reasons. She did it because Trump repudiated everything you just said. He repudiated the old guard. He repudiated the neocons, the Dick Cheneys of the world, the George Bushes, the kinds of Republicans that no one really liked. The ones that got us into these forever wars overseas, the ones that basically, you know, let our country go through this period of managed decline. They just want to return to the good old days where they were making money, where they were in power, where everything was nice and easy. And he represents basically a giant obstacle to that, even when he's out of office, because he has that much power, that much political capital that, you know, he can still move the needle in the party. And that's why she's trying to go out there and say he's not the future of the party. But me and you both know this guy has like 90% approval rating in the party. I mean, even after everything that happened on Jan 6th, he still has 92% of the Republican Party wants him to be the nominee in 2024. And then I've seen other polls that showed him like with 87% approval rating. So he has massive support within the party. She could barely get 10% in her own state where she's a household name. But these are the people that want to dictate terms, her and the entire impeachment caucus. There's like, whatever, 10 others of them, 10 other ones. I mean, it just boggles the mind that they think that they're the ones standing with all this groundswell of support where they have really no support. The party is behind Trump through and through.
Well, you know, that's the same thing with the Mitt Romneys of the world. You know, I mean, they're sitting back thinking like, you know, oh, no, okay, the evil Trump orange man bad, he's gone. Now it's back to the way good old days of the Republican Party. And what they don't realize is that's dead. That's gone. Well, the reason why Trump got elected in the first place is because he was on Twitter, because right. He was going on to the alternative news sources on YouTube and talking to this new wave of conservatives, and they're the ones who got him in office. And now exactly. That he's in office and he's got this base and it's grown since 2016 to 2020, his base has increased, especially within the Black community, Hispanic community, the Jewish community, LGBTQ, all increased. Yep. And now the Republicans think they can just help, not to go in, you know, what I feel about the election, but push him out of the way and now just go back to the way things used to be. That's not the way it's going to happen. Times
agreed.
Have changed.
Agreed. And he basically, with this new coalition, he got the most votes of any sitting president. He grew his voting, the number of votes, I think, what was it, by over 10 million or something crazy. I mean, he did that. He didn't really pander. He didn't run a campaign like, you know, the old rhinos used to do. And he still did better with minorities, a historic number. He did better with all these different groups. He really did run a fantastic campaign. I mean, say what you want to say about what ended up happening, but no one could have got the numbers he did. No one could have won in 2016 the way he won. No one could have broke the blue wall. No one could have built this new coalition because the Republican Party was dying. It was dying under John McCain. It was dying under Mitt Romney. It was dying under Bush. They couldn't win elections. They weren't, I mean, they didn't have anyone who could really captivate at the national level the way Trump could. And like you said, he went to digital media. He went to alternative, media sources online, and that's really what won him a lot of new voters, because he understood the power of social media. He understood the power of just putting out your stream of consciousness online. A lot of people liked it. They resonated with it. They appreciated his realness. I think there's a lot of commentators out there that say, oh, you know, a lot of people like Trump for his policies, but they didn't like his rhetoric or the way he talked. I disagree. I think most people liked him, how he talked, how he spoke, how he was just authentic and himself. They didn't like the phoniness, the contrived Mitt Romneys, the contrived and artificial Liz Cheneys. They liked someone who was real. And even though he was a little rough around the edges, at least he was a real person that they could relate to.
No, I totally agree. And what's so funny, you know, you're a New Yorker like myself, and I've been recently in the ears now, but you know, you're more of a New Yorker than I am. But you,
no, you're a New Yorker. Don't worry, you've been here long enough.
Okay, I'm at that point now, right? Okay, I'm officially a New Yorker. And the thing is, you know, as well as me, is when I would go to a lot of some of these events, and I don't want to say any names or any club or anything like that, but I'll go to these events and people will give me a hard time. Not the New York Young Republic Club, by the way.
Yes.
But when I would, yeah, not to make that clear, but I go to some of these events and they would say, oh, you know, I like Trump, Chris, but, you know, why is he got to tweet so much? And why is he got to be he's a little too brash, you know? And I'm like, that's what got him elected, guys. And they're like, yeah, but, you know, I don't like all the MAGA gear and all that. And I'm like, he's from Queens. He's from New York. This is a New York guy. When's the last time a Republican got into office as presidency that's from New York City? Like, you know, what?
I think a lot of people don't get that because a lot of Republicans have traditionally not been from, you know, the outer boroughs of New York. They've been from the Midwest. They've been from the South. They've been from maybe the West Coast or other places. But his whole shtick was really this kind of outer borough Queens guy. And, you know, people like me and you could understand it. We weren't necessarily offended by it because we know a lot of people that are just like him. They talk like him. They speak like him. They have the same kind of gait. They carry themselves the same way. And that's just his style. But a lot of people like it. And it honestly worked. I mean, I would take that any day over the polished, prim and proper Republican, you know, whoever it may be, because so many of them, they just do what the consultants tell them to do. They just do whatever the polling tells them to do. They don't actually have any real beliefs. They're just trying to, you know, just go along to get along. They're trying to be liked. They're trying to just kind of blow under the radar and not be really too controversial. But really, in this day and age, we need a fighter. We need someone who's going to go out there and be controversial, who's going to grab headlines. And, you know, that's the only way to fight back against cancel culture. That's the only way to fight back against the left, is to just not care, not apologize, and just double down, which is what he always did. I mean, all his scandals through the 2016 election, if anyone else had even had one of those scandals, they would have melted and folded. But he held his cards close to his chest, and he just called their bluff, and he won. He pushed through.
No, you know, Trump's a fighter, man. Trump's, and he's been showing that, you know, throughout his New York years, like late 70s on, he's been always been a fighter through real estate and on. And I tell people all the time, give me a brash truth teller over articulate liar any day of the week.
Yep.
And I learned at a young age, I grew up, I was voting Democrat my whole life. But the first Republican I officially voted for was Donald J. Trump.
Nice.
And 2012 was the first time I looked at Republicans. I was looking at Herman Cain. I was looking at Ron Paul. And when I looked at them, the media came in and they destroyed both of those opportunities back then for me to vote for them. And then in 2016, I was looking at Dr. Ben Carson. They destroyed his opportunity. The media again. So I said at that point, the media decides our presidents, not us as American citizens. So Donald Trump came in there and he wrecked the media. And when I saw him do that, it got my attention a lot. And I said, OK, Trump, I never had a problem with Trump, because anybody like me, just me as an American citizen, I thought Trump was always a cool dude, man. I grew up in Maryland. I listened to New York hip hop in the 90s growing up. And a lot of black rappers were the black Trump back in the 90s when they were rapping. So Trump was always like the cool dude at the party. Right. You know what I mean? And so when Trump was running, I never had a problem with him. I didn't know he was really taking it very seriously. I thought he was just trying to, you know, put his name out there, promote the businesses, do what Trump's doing. And when I looked at him seriously and said, okay, Trump, let me look at you seriously. I looked at his policies, what he was saying back in the late 70s, early 80s. What he was saying then is what he was running on in 2016. So when I saw that, I said, this guy's a man of his word, because he's obviously serious, because he's been saying these words years ago.
Right. Now, same thing.
So
I think he changed Japan for China, but that's about it, because the things changed. But it's been the times have changed, but everything else has been the same. And it's true. He's been holding firm on all his beliefs. I mean, you got to appreciate that whether you like his views or not. At least they've been pretty much consistent. I mean, he's obviously adapted to some things, but the core message, his core main areas have always been things like trade and, you know, putting America first in terms of sovereignty and all that kind of stuff. So he's been sticking true to that. But you also mentioned the media. I mean, it is true that the media, basically, their power is really dwindling, and they realize that. That's why they're trying to clamp down hard through big tech on social media, because all these alternative sources of news, all these alternative voices, alternative commentators, they're destroying the media's monopoly over the messaging. So, you know, even as recently as 2012 or whatever it was, you could have the media just come out and label these candidates whatever they want to label them, and just destroy them and prevent them from basically preventing them from having any chance at winning an election, and just turning people against them. But Trump was able to buck those trends because he just went headfirst and fought back. And every time they lied about him, he punched back and he exposed their lies. And more people were realizing that the media just can't be trustworthy. So, I mean, he's changed that whole dynamic politically forever. That's not going to change whether Liz Cheney tries to impeach him or not.
I tell people all the time, Trump's changed the game. He's changed the game. You can hate the man or you can love the man. But one thing I say Trump did in those 4 years, and like you said, who knows, he might run again in 2024. And I don't never bet against Trump. He's like, right, Tom Brady, who just won a Super Bowl. Never bet against him. Yeah. When the whole thing happened and he, you know, when everything happened with him, you know, in the 2020 election, I said that this is going to be something where people got to pay attention to what he just exposed to the country. he literally went into the United States. He went to the White House. He went to the Oval Office, and he lifted up the dirty carpet there and showed the United States what was underneath.
Yep.
And people like me already had a clue what was underneath that carpet beforehand, and a very strong clue. And but when Trump, when he did what he did, it showed me even more than what I kind of already knew. But what he really did was show people who had no clue what exactly was underneath that.
No, and that's
that
true.
Is forever changed the United States of America, regardless if you hate him or love him. That 4 years, if he just has his 4 years, he's historically changed the United States of America. What he did.
Everything. I couldn't agree more, because even before, you know, he was in office, I mean, everyone had these kind of naive views of government, naive views of DC. It was all kind of like, you know, oh, I trust the institutions. I trust what they're doing. They're good. I mean, you know, obviously some people
did it. They got our best, you know,
they have our best interests at heart. They have our back. They're not evil. They're not going to do anything bad. You know, they know what they're doing. They're smart. They're competent. They're good people. You know, not everyone believed that, but that was much more of the general consensus. Today, it doesn't matter what side of the aisle you're on. I mean, there's just a mass distrust and skepticism towards government, towards DC. I would even say go further. I think now there's actually real anger and real hatred towards DC and the Beltway and the Swamp, which is a good thing. I don't think that's a bad thing. I think that's a good thing, because, you know, before there was a lot of people, they were just naive. They didn't know what was really going on. They didn't really see past all the smoke and mirrors. And, you know, even if Trump wasn't able to enact everything he wanted to enact because of all the different issues that we can go into, one of the greatest things he did was, like you said, pull back the dirty carpet and show to the whole world, to the whole country in particular, what these people are, who they are, what they're doing, all the Peter Strucks of the world, all the Robert Mueller's, all these fake Republicans, these evil Democrats, whoever it is, in both parties, because there was a lot of trash in the Republican Party that needed to be called out, and no one was going to do that before him.
That's very true. That's why I say I love the word establishment. When I say that, you know, me being a conservative, of course, people on the left, they want to say, oh, what about this? What about the Republicans? I say establishment because there's dirty politicians on the right and the left.
Yep.
There's corrupt media and Fox News and CNN and MSNBC. You got scoundrels on all sides.
Right.
So I like I said, when Trump was younger, they assumed he was a Democrat. When he ran as a Republican because, I mean, honestly, as when it comes to politics and this, you know, in politics, there's no way he could have run as a Democrat.
No, maybe 30 years ago, but that was things have changed.
Yeah, definitely changed. So, you know, he just being a businessman that he is, and he's also a guy who fights and wants to win. He did what the best option he had, and he obviously became president. And so I don't have an issue with that in particular, but the situation that I'm having is with the left, I'm like, when I voted for Trump in 2016, I tell people all the time, like, the Democratic Party I didn't leave the Democratic Party. The Democratic Party left me.
Yep.
Like, that was the first time I ever voted Republican. It was 2016. And when I voted for Trump, I kind of looked at Trump like, okay, Trump, I'm putting all my cards in. Like, a lot of my family members, childhood friends, they cut me off. Please don't make me look bad. And
right.
I said to myself, but if you do and things don't work out, I will vote Democrat again. That's because the best politician wins. But when I voted for Trump and supported him, the Democratic Party went so far left into a radical zone that I'm like, I can't come back to this. Like,
there's no turning back at that point.
No, there really isn't. There really isn't. And Trump honestly did such a great job that I didn't even have to think about turning back, because I'm like, this movement, new conservative movement, is where I want to be when it comes to American.
But you make a great point there. I mean, there are millions of voters who were just like you, that Trump was their first Republican. It was the first time they voted for a Republican because he was different. I mean, if you look at it, he only really won in 2016 because there was a few million former Obama voters who switched to Trump. And that's how he won, because he was able to flip all these traditionally Democrat states across the Midwest and elsewhere. No other Republican could have done that. And all these stupid Republicans and consultants in D.C., they're all saying, oh, Trump is bad for the party. Trump's bad for the party. Their strategies, their tactics, their rhetoric, their messaging never would have flipped someone like you to vote for Republican. It wouldn't have flipped millions of other people to vote for Republicans. He was the one who did that. He did it because he was unconventional, and he was just speaking from the heart. He was just shooting from the hip. And it was that authentic Trump energy from 2015, 2016 that won over millions of people that otherwise would have never even bothered to vote. And if they did vote, maybe they would just vote Democrat. So any notion of returning to how things were, like you said, the establishment, it's dead on arrival. It's dead on arrival, because really at the end of the day, the establishment of both parties are the same. they're really no different. I don't think there's that much of a difference between Joe Biden and Mitt Romney or Liz Cheney. I mean, they're all buddies behind the scenes. They all go to the same parties. They all, you know, are chummy with each other. You know, they disagree in public on a few topical issues, but they just want to keep the machine moving. They just want to keep everything, you know, going business as usual. And that's why they all hate Trump. And that's why they all worked together to really take down Trump, because Trump, he was the target of not just Democrats. There were all these disaffected Republicans, you know, the Lincoln Project, all those types. I mean, this was a massive, basically a massive conspiracy. The Time, what was the article?
Time Magazine.
Yeah. They said the same thing. It was a massive conspiracy of all this entrenched political interests that were trying to take him down because he was a threat. That's really what it comes down to.
And it's so funny you bring that up, because if you look at it on both sides, like we talk about the establishment, it's on both sides. Look at what happened with Bernie Sanders in 2016. I remember when Bernie was one of the Bernie bros, and Bernie had, you know, when you looked at what the reason why I knew Trump was going to be Hillary in 2016 is because I looked at his rallies. This guy was selling out football stadiums. Hillary could barely sell a library. Right. So that's what I was looking at. I said, this guy has major support. The real threat I saw on the left was Bernie Sanders at that time. Bernie bros, they were older placed. Bernie had a lot of support. He had a lot of backup. But what was happening, a lot of my friends who I grew up with, you know, who are, you know, younger, you know, even, you know, not to bring race, I hate to bring race in it, but just be honest, it's, you know, a lot of white males who are younger. There are a lot of Bernie bros. And I was telling them, look, you know, there's no way Bernie's going to win the presidency, right? And they're like, what are you talking about? He has all support. Look at his rallies. The pigeon flew down and all. I'm like, no, doesn't matter. Hillary's not going to let him win. Like the superdelegates, Hillary is not going to let him win. And they were like, no, man. And I said, okay. So when the time came, DNC, the primaries, Hillary won. She took the superdelegates. They were just pissed off. Like, you know, Bernie's looking all shocked and, you know, everything. And I didn't mock them. I didn't make fun of them. I just went to him and I messaged all of them. And I said, remember what I told you guys, that there's no way he's going to win? And I was, and I said, like, now, you know, what's going on now? And they said, well, all right, Chris. And the fact that I didn't mock him and come at him in a negative way, they just were honest with me. Like, well, what is it about Trump that you support? What's it about him? And some had a few questions. Some had a lot of questions. It doesn't matter if they had a few or a lot. I answered all of them. And I answered all of them in detail. And when I did that, a lot of those friends now are Trump supporters all the way to the core. And if you saw them now on social media, you have no clue that they're former Bernie bros.
And that's awesome.
Yeah. And that's what, to me, it was like, that shows me that what the importance of red pilling people, man, and really showing people, because a lot of Americans, man, all they want is a great country. They don't care about right, left, orange, blue, whatever, man. It doesn't matter. You know, if they're,
I agree. You got to do it. You got to do it in your personal life. You got to red pill your family, people, you know, because a lot of them, you know, like you said, they all want good things. They're good people. But if they're only getting their news from, you know, CNN or the New York Times or whatever mainstream outlet, they're never going to know the truth. They're never going to know the full story. They're just going to know one narrative, and you have to break through that. And the only way to really break through that is not like, you know, some random on the internet. It's someone you know personally. Like, if you know, you're friends with them, they trust you, whatever. That's the best recipe to really take down the whole establishment's narrative. But like, you know, what you're saying with the Bernie bros, I mean, I know a ton of people just like that. Same kind of story. A lot of them were really, they woke up when Hillary stole it from Bernie in 16. I mean, they stole it from him in 2020 too. I mean, you know, Bernie was winning everything. And then all of a sudden, you know, all the establishment candidates dropped out. They consolidated around Biden. And then Bernie and Warren were the two left in, and they split each other's votes. And I think she did that purposely. So Bernie keeps getting screwed over, but you know, Bernie doesn't fight. He doesn't fight like Trump. And I think honestly, he's been bought out to a large extent. I mean, he never puts up a fight every time the Democrat establishment has screwed him over on things. And Trump has always been kind of positive in terms of Bernie. I mean, he's always said, you know, look what they did to him. They really screwed him over. And I think that helped win over a lot of Bernie supporters. No one wants to talk about that though. No one wants to talk about that crossover appeal, that Trump has that no other Republican would have.
Well, you understand the things of Bernie Sanders from Trump, they both had that same, you know, they got that following, that base on both sides. And, you know, but what separates the two? I'll tell you what separates the two. Well, one, Bernie's a communist. And two, Bernie's a beta male. I'm going to be honest with you. I mean, I remember in 2016 when Bernie was running and those few girls that were in Black Lives Matter, he was doing a rally and they went on the stage. Remember they stormed the stage? And, you know, he was just like backed off and let him have the mic and they were just screaming a bunch of nonsense. And that was it. And Trump came out the next day and did a rally and said, I saw Bernie's rally. If they would do that here, you already know what was going to happen. Like, that's not going to happen under Trump. So I'm like, exactly, Trump. I'm like, you know, so anybody who has a little bit of backbone knows that. Like, this, you're about to be president of the United States, possibly. How are you going to let somebody come out the crowd and just take the microphone for the potential president of the United States and speak over them? Right. That's, look, come on.
And people respect strength. I mean, even if they don't agree with you, no one respects weakness. No one's going to respect you just being a pushover. And he really was. I mean, yes, he was a nice, yes, Bernie kind of comes across as a nice, affable guy.
Yeah, you know, so Jimmy Carter.
Yeah, so did Jimmy Carter. He was a horrible president. And, he has this old grandpa kind of vibe. But at the end of the day, he's kind of a crank. I mean, he's kind of like, you know, he's just not a leader. I mean, he's never really accomplished anything in D.C. And it's not like his party wouldn't have been, you know, willing to work with him. I mean, there's plenty of people in his party who are just as left-wing as he is on many issues. But he just really doesn't have much of a record to show for. So, I mean, he's all over the place. And I honestly think a lot of Bernie bros, a lot of former voters of his have become disillusioned. I mean, you can maybe write off the first time he ran, but then he got screwed over the second time and he still goes along with it. He still votes for them. He still supports them. He still speaks at their convention. So he's basically controlled opposition. He's no different than AOC. He's no different than Elizabeth Warren. They're all fakes. The only Democrat I really have any respect for, honestly, is Tulsi Gabbard, because she actually goes against the party's establishment. She actually gets, you know, shut down by them. She gets silenced. She gets attacked. And, you know, she's also trying to make inroads. She'll go on Tucker. She'll say she doesn't hate Trump supporters. She'll push back against all this political retribution on Trump supporters. So I have a lot of respect for her. I don't agree with her on everything. I agree with her on some things, but not everything. But at least I respect her because I know she's honest. And I know she's legit.
No, I totally agree with you on that. And if Democrats were smart, if they were actually like really seriously about trying to take down the Trump movement and slow down the Trump train, all they would have to do in 2020 was put Tulsi Gabbard as their main candidate.
Agreed.
And that would have shook the entire political spectrum. But they don't even want to do that. And we, for the last 4 years, all we've been hearing about is, Trump's a racist, Trump's a Nazi, Trump's Hitler, old white, evil, rich, 1% white men, and all that. And then they put Joe Biden as their main primary candidate.
Yeah.
It's like you guys had a strong woman, you know, with everything with Me Too, the feminist movement, everything like that. You guys had a strong woman, veteran, that could have gained it with great policies, great speaker, the whole package right in your face, and you totally ignore it.
Yep.
Because you are the biggest hypocrites right now in the country that we have to offer, are you guys. Because
well, yeah, they couldn't control her. They didn't want someone authentic because she's her own woman. She's actually a strong and independent woman. I know that's kind of their catchphrase they use for everyone, but she actually is the real deal. You know, she's a veteran. She has her views. She fights for them. They could never control her. They can never buy her out because she's a true believer. And again, that would have won. I fully agree with you. A Tulsi candidate for the Democrat Party is actually – something that could really win them a lot of races, a lot of seats down ballot and nationally. But they'll never do it. They'll put up these fake corporatist, you know, the Kamala, whatever the hell her name is.
Kamala Harris.
Yeah, I always can't say her name, and she's the vice president. But they'll put up her, and she's the fakest of the fake. And, you know, Tulsi ripped her a new one on the debate stage. It was one of the best moments.
No, you're totally right. And, you know, I tell people all the time, like, you know, the left is all about inclusion. They're all about, you know, women empowerment. They're all about Black Lives Matter. They're all about, you know, all of this stuff they're all about. But they're only about it if you follow the narrative.
Exactly.
That's what people don't understand. You know, that's what I had to learn at a young age. Once I figured that out for myself, that's when I left the party. It's because, like, oh, yeah, they when I was younger, it's like, oh, yeah, we're down with everybody. We're cool. We're hip. You know, they're like the you know, the friend's parent that tries to be cool with the kids and everything. Oh, yeah, I'm down. And when you really get to know them, though, you're like, no, you're not. You know, you're just playing the act. This is all for pandering. This is all for votes. This is not reality that you guys are really trying to do. And that's why I try to educate a lot of people on the left now. Like, you know, you guys hear what the left does, how they, you know, they search for votes, how they pander for votes. It's not the reality what they're not really about helping out anything. They're not really helping the LGBTQ, the Black community, you know, the middle class, nothing. They're all they're trying to do is they're trying to say little keywords and phrases that get you interested. They say, oh, wow, okay, you got my attention, Black Lives Matter. Oh, Antifa, anti-fascist, you got my attention. But in reality, the organizations that are here to manipulate and control. They're not really here to help out these communities they're claiming to help.
Nope, you're 100% right. It's all gaslight. They've mastered the art of that. You know, they're master manipulators, and they're shameless about it. That's why I always get pissed off at Republicans, because Republicans are always trying to point out the hypocrisy. But it's like they don't care. They don't care that they're liars. They don't care that they just completely spread falsehoods, and they're just blatantly hypocritical. They're shameless. They're completely shameless in how they operate, and that's why they're ruthless, and that's why many times they win, because Republicans before Trump, they weren't fighters. They never put up a fight. They could never stand up for themselves. They just want to be gracious losers. And there's other Republicans in the field that I like, but none of them would have put up the fight that Trump did post-election. They all would have caved. They all would have conceded immediately. They never would have put up a fight, but he did. And you have to give him props for it, because he's the only person who really had the balls to stand up to them.
No, you're 100% right. And I tell people all the time, like, it took the Larry Elders, the Thomas Sowells, the Dinesh D'Souzas, to educate me about the history of both parties, the Republican Party and Democratic Party, because I never in my life, growing up in the liberal ran education system, thought for a second that Republicans ever had my back as a black man in this country. And when I figured out what the history was, and I learned that the Republicans throughout American history are the ones who helped out the black community the most, I was upset at the fact that, like, as Republican politicians, how'd you guys lose the black vote to the point where they're voting 96% Democrat when you guys are the ones who freed the slaves?
Right.
That just shows you right there how much they have no fight, no backbone, is the fact they let that much of that vote lose when you're the ones who freed this community of people, but yet you let these people support the Democratic Party to the rate that they're supporting them. Not so much now, but 10 years ago, 96%.
Yeah, it was crazy, because they always concede the narrative. They always, every time the Democrats frame something, they accept the frame and they just run with it. And then always Republicans are on the back foot. It's like, oh, you're racist. Oh no, now you have to explain why you're not racist. But just blow them off. Just disregard them, because they're always going to put you in the box that they want to put you in, so that they can control
basically the labels.
Everything. They control the labels. They know how to defame. They know how to discredit. They know how to silence. I mean, again, it just comes back to that they're ruthless and Republicans are not. But I want to talk about the future now. We've talked a bit about the last few years. What do you think about 2024? You think Trump's going to run again? You know, if he does, you think he has a chance of winning? I mean, what's your take on 2024?
A good question. To be honest, of course, he shouldn't even be that question. He should be reelected. He should be second term we're going through right now. But of course, not going to go into details with that. How I feel, we all know how I feel about that. But Trump at his age, if it was anybody else in the United States of America, I would not say they would do that just in political know-how. No, they wouldn't do that at their age. It just wouldn't happen. But I brought Tom Brady earlier. I'm going to bring him up again. Tom Brady's shown at an age that most people consider you should be done. You should be retired. You should be sitting down. You can come out and fight and win.
Yeah,
and Trump, I feel, is that one of the few men on this earth who can come out in 2024.
And they both have supermodel wives, so that also helps.
Yeah, exactly. So you know the deal, man.
Yeah.
No,
it's good. It's alpha male energy. I mean, that's basically what won it. I mean, you know, they're both goats in their respective fields for a reason.
They are. They definitely are. And that's what America needs right now more than anything, man, because we're lacking in that so much. That's why Trump blew up the way he did. Because when Trump said, make America great again, I'm a military brat. My dad's an Army major veteran. I saw the Berlin Wall fall as a little boy, all that good stuff. So I never grew up in America hating it or thinking I was oppressed or anything like that. So when Trump came out and ran and said, make America great again, not for a 0.1 of a second did I think he was being racist or white supremacist. I was like, I know exactly what he's talking about. He was talking about when I was in Toys R Us as an 8-year-old boy, seeing Made in America on every little toy that I saw, like G.I. Joe, Mr. T, Hulk Hogan, every little, you know, America, man. Red, white, and blue.
And it all changed.
Yeah, and it all changed. And then when he came back with that energy, I said, yes, definitely, let's do it. Let's do it again. And it just really shook up the whole entire country. It shook up the world, not just the country. I mean, there's proof they're in Tokyo right now fighting for Trump.
It's true. He has a fan base globally. I think people forget that, and they try to pretend that it really doesn't exist because, you know, the media manipulation and narratives. But, you know, what you said, they tried to label him as a racist or white supremacist. I mean, the people that use those terms the most are probably the most guilty of actually being racist, of actually being white supremacist, because they project their own sins onto other people, and they just use their own problems again. They place basically all their own evil thoughts and all their own misgivings onto the people that they can't stand because they can't own up to it themselves. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. It's just a lot of people with psychological problems.
You're 100% right. It's like I tell people all the time, the left, they have skeletons in their closet. And what they do is they come out with people on the right, conservatives, and say, oh, no, you're a fascist. You're a Nazi. You're a Gestapo. You're this and a third. You're, you know, all these things. But as time goes by, and you look at the actions speak louder than words. If you look at the actions of the left, their actions are showing they are the ones who are putting forth all of these claims that they're claiming that we are. They claim that we are Nazis, Gestapo, this, but they are moving like this Gestapo did. They're the one talking about re-education camps for MAGA supporters and all this crazy stuff. Like the last time I heard about anything, I wasn't alive when it was talked about, but the last time in history that I know about that it was being talked about was during World War II in Nazi Germany.
Right.
And so it's like, I don't use the word Nazi out there all the time. You guys do, but the ones who actually are moving like the Gestapo are Nazis are you guys. If you look at terms of history, so
it's
who
true.
Are you to
it's
point
true.
A finger at me and claim I'm doing this when you're the ones making the actions that are doing it?
It's true. It's their fascism. It's their, they're the ones promoting fascism. They're the ones promoting corporatism. They're the ones promoting all these, illiberal policies under the guise of being, you know, good liberals when they're really, you know, some of the biggest wannabe tyrants, the biggest wannabe dictators. I mean, they want to control what you think. They want to control the information you receive. They want to control what your children receive in terms of their education. They want to control your business. They want to control your livelihoods. I mean, they're all about control. They're all about domination over the individual, over the family, over this country. I mean, everything they claim to be in terms of being a liberal and being loving and being caring and being open to diversity, that's all a BS lie. I mean, you know, these are cliche talking points, but honestly, I mean, you know, it has to be said. It has to be said ad nauseum, because that's how they do it. They put out their lies repeatedly and they keep repeating them and repeating them until people believe them. We need to constantly have to repeat truth if we want to get anywhere, even if it seems repetitive, but it's true, because they're all about all this religion of wokeism and this religion of the left. It's destroying this country. It's destroying society, and it's twisting people into really just hating. I mean, that's how they dehumanize Trump supporters. They dehumanize conservatives, and then it allows them to attack them viciously, to threaten their livelihoods, to threaten their lives. And that's why you see things like Antifa on the rise and all these violent left-wing groups.
No, you're 100% right. And, you know, I got family members of mine, childhood friends, you know, they see what I'm doing and, you know, and some so support. And there's others that reach out to me and they like think I'm like just a part of a cult and like I'm some radical, like, you know, like, Chris, man, you lost your mind. And because what is happening is they're getting their information on a regular basis from the television set. Yep. And it's telling them that Trump's Hitler and his supporters are Nazis and, you know, they're white supremacists and they're out to take over the country and, you know, pillage and light, riot and loot. Meanwhile, the ones who are actually rioting, looting, murdering, destroying, burning down buildings is the radical left, Black Lives Matter, Antifa. They are the ones who are actually doing that. And the media doesn't report on it. But the media points and says the right are the ones who are doing, or these labels. They are the labels, but the ones who are doing the actions of what those labels represent are the left, radical left, but they're not being covered by the media. So the public does not have any clue about what's going on with the radical left and their actions. But all they know is what they hear, and they're told that the right are these labels without any evidence of the action.
Yeah, and they just buy into it, and they just buy into it, and they accept it, and they move on, and you have to fight, you have to red pill them, you have to turn them off this constant, you know, stream of propaganda that they get every day, and it's an uphill fight, and I think a lot of people, you know, they become doom and gloom, they become doomers because they don't want to actually do what it takes to actually win and fight back, and they just want to roll over and you know, just let them win. That's exactly what the left wants. They want you to be demoralized. They want you to be defeatist, so they could just completely trample over what's left of our country or left of our republic. But I wanted to I don't want to keep you too long, man, because this has been a great talk. We're pushing up on the hour here, but I wanted to give the last word to you. Let our listeners and viewers know where they can follow you, what you're doing, your latest videos, your latest activism from the Conservative Republican Alliance. And I really appreciate you coming on, man.
Now, thank you, man. I appreciate you inviting me to come on the podcast, man. It's been a pleasure. I had a great time speaking with you, man. We spoke about a lot of important things tonight. And I hope people are listening, because we've spoken about some real important subjects that's going to really benefit the country, I think, man.
Amen.
But, yeah, and if you really want to follow me, man, I think it'll be all time. I've been, you know, so much going on right now with the censorship and everything. I've been on the new alternative social media sites and everything. So the best thing you can do is, if you want to follow me on YouTube, it's The Christopher Wright Show. And that's Wright, like Wright Brothers with a W. Look on that and you'll find me on YouTube, and you'll find me a lot of sources on that. Chris Wright, N-N-Y, that's I-N-N-Y, not spelled out, just N-Y, on Instagram and on Gab. And everything else you can find me on is either the Chris Wright Show or the Christopher Wright Show. The best way, if you're like trying to find me, just really just want to get out there, you can Google or DuckDuckGo me and just put in the Christopher Wright Show, and you'll see me pop up some way or another. And I'll be on Facebook under Christopher Wright, my name. You can find me on there. And I got a fan page, the Christopher Wright Show fan page. And also, I got a group here in New York, the CRA, the Conservative Republican Alliance. Gavin mentioned them earlier. We got a fan pages and group pages all over the internet there as well. So just do your searching. You'll find us.
Awesome, man. You are no shortage of profiles and platforms that you're using. So you got to love it. And I also love how you plugged in DuckDuckGo there. We didn't get to talk about big tech or Google. We'll save that for next time. But it's always good, you know, to diversify your Google search, your search engines. I said Google search engines, your search engines. But anyway, guys, thank you for tuning into the Waxcast. If you are listening to us on iTunes or Apple, don't forget to leave us a 5-star review. And don't forget to subscribe on either Apple, iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, wherever else you're listening to. There's a bunch of places. So tune in. We're going to have more episodes of the Waxcast. We have some great guests coming up this week. It's going to be an action-packed month for the podcast. So thank you all for tuning in, and we'll catch you soon. And I am ending this podcast right now.
Awesome.